Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 12 of Money, Romance, and Greed. Of course, I am your host, Lady A, and my co-host is
DJ.
How you doing?
What's happening?
You know what? It's been a hell of a week. Okay, we're always busy, yeah. Like everybody is, right? But we always seem to come back and entice the crowd most interesting and intriguing stories. And this week, why should this week be any different?
Oh, it's not going to be. Right? It ain't going to stop. It can't stop. We won't stop. We don't know how to stop.
It never stops. We don't know how to stop, okay? But before we get into this week's story, we just want to, again, take the time out to say thank you to everyone who has stuck with us once again. We can't say thank you enough to you guys, right?
Yeah. Shout out to our listeners in Ohio, North Carolina, Michigan, California, New York, Idaho, Virginia, Oregon, Florida, Missouri, Colorado, Georgia, Indiana, Texas, Pennsylvania, Washington, Arkansas, in D.C. Woo! Good looking out. Stay down.
Thank you guys so much. And major shout outs to our international listeners. We can't forget about you guys.
Yeah.
Australia, United Kingdom, India, Kenya, Canada, Thailand, and Ireland. Like, we can't forget our people in Ireland. Thank you guys. So we appreciate you. Just a word of reference, please be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcast fixed and spread the word.
Absolutely spread the
word. We're awesome people.
Hit us up on IG, Twitter, what is it?
Yep, on Twitter at Greed Romance. And hit us up on our Gmail, mrg.podcast1@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Let us know how we're doing. We want to know.
We got to
know. We know we're awesome.
We know we
But are. We want to know what you guys think.
And we're only awesome because you're awesome.
Because
make no qualms about
awesome.
It.
You're awesome. And thank you guys
Man,
so
let's
much.
Let's get into it.
Okay. So, DJ, you know what? I'm going to, like, really change this up a little bit because...
What we doing?
This story right here, I feel like it's a bit of a cautionary tale. And I hope there are a lot of parents listening out today for this story. But one of the things, DJ, that I want to ask you, would you lie for your child if you thought it would get them out of a situation?
Yes, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna lie, goddammit.
Quick, fast, in a hurry.
La familia. Yes. Now, I'm going to beat his ass at house, in the house, when he come home. He going to punish me for 2 years. This is the third. I'm going to beat the brakes off of him. He ain't going to be able to hear out of one ear. But I'm going to get in the streets and I'm going
to lie. Right. Period. And we're going to lie and we're not going to feel no kind of way about it. Well,
hey,
maybe we'll feel some kind of way about it.
It's some old sick-ass, depraved mind, pedophile shit. I ain't got your back on that.
Thank you. How
Anything
far
else,
does the hypocrisy go, right? What extent are we willing to go to lie and protect our children? And really, that is what tonight's story is about. How far are you willing to go to get your kid out of trouble? So let's get into it.
Ooh.
All right? That's how we started off.
What was we talking
about?
You
know, money, romance, and greed. We do it big around here.
Man, we got the best stories. We have the best content. We got the best hosts.
Yes.
We the best.
We
the best
are
listeners.
The best. So, tonight we are discussing the very cautionary story of young teenager Marlissa Wells.
Mm.
And I say cautionary, and that's the reason why I asked that question, DJ, because I say cautionary because I think that this story is a testament that sometimes we really don't know what is happening in our children's lives, even though we think we do, right?
Well, damn, what was Marlissa into?
All right, so let's talk about this. So let's kind of give a little bit of backdrop on Marlissa. She's a beautiful, popular, young, 16-year-old girl who just had a lot going for herself.
Define beautiful.
I mean, just
I'm
beautiful. Every child is beautiful, okay?
We digress.
Exactly. And she was outgoing, right? She had a great personality.
That's a plus.
She's just generally a fun girl to be around.
She's the life of the party. She's a star in the room, and
she is. You know, family has described her as her smile is contagious.
Right.
You know, she loves the Lord.
There we go.
I mean, she makes A's in school.
Oh.
She plays the clarinet. She's in all kinds of outside school activities. She's just doing the most.
She's a good catch, huh?
A damn good catch. And I say, I'm not trying to talk about nobody kid, but let's just face it here, okay? Nowadays, if you seen these young girls walking around here, nowadays, with no purpose in their life, okay?
None.
Just saying, all right? But Marlissa was not one of those girls, okay? And so, you know, that is what really, one of the things that drew her boyfriend, Matthew Wilkins, who, by the way, was the star of the basketball team.
Woo! What? Wilkins?
Star of
ain't
the
no kid of Dominique Wilkins, was it?
He wasn't kin of Dominique. I know. Well,
dang
it.
Ain't Wilkins. Why are we black gotta play basketball?
And dang. Why they name gotta be Wilkins?
Right.
So you automatically just assume, okay. Dominique, yeah. Matthew, is there some similarity? Right. No, it has nothing to do with it. So, you know, and again, you know, Matthew started the basketball team, comes from a very religious family. In fact, his mother and father are both ministers, okay? And Matthew, just like Marlissa, would attend church on any given Wednesday, Saturday, Bible study, choir rehearsal, meetings. Everything. 2-3 days out the week,
and
you
can
find them there.
And what that mean?
That means they were two good kids.
But she'll lie. I'm just saying. Y'all know the preacher's kids, y'all.
They will. But for all intents and purposes, Marlissa and Matthew did seem like they were going to be like a good fit for one another. Really because they bonded over their religious background. Right. I mean, most people find something in common that they can bond over. And it's like, oh, we're so
I know
awesome.
You got something in common, huh? Bobby Whitney, until you don't have
until
something
you
common.
Don't have it. Until you find out that you're both psychopaths.
Right.
And now we're here on Money, Romance, and Great. Right.
So.
But, you know, I think this is why how this relationship started off so well is why it's so sad that it turned into a tragedy.
Well, what the hell happened?
I mean, is this like Romeo and Juliet? Let's see.
We're going to see.
All right. So let's talk about the backdrop. On January 19, 2008, in Austell, Georgia, Marlissa's grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Wells, were on their way home when they tried contacting their granddaughter, Marlissa Wells, but never received an answer. Now, of course, that would be implied. Marlissa lives with her grandparents, okay?
Oh.
And she would actually, she's a good kid, so she would answer the phone. Of course, they had a house phone and she had a cell phone. She would answer the phone usually, but when she didn't, her grandparents decided to call her cell phone because they thought that maybe she was on the house phone, and we've all done that, and she just didn't want to click over.
Get off the goddamn phone.
And I have to be, I have to say that has happened to me from time to time. You just don't want to click over. You're in a good conversation talking about nothing, and you just don't want to see who's beeping in, right? And so that's what they were thinking was the case when, you know, she didn't answer her phone. But then they called her and she didn't answer her cell phone either. And so they thought, well, maybe she's talking to one of her friends. It's maybe a three-way conversation. Maybe her cell phone's in her room and she's just not paying attention, right? And, you know, at this point, though, her grandparents are like, okay, you know, what the hell? Don't not answer my call when I'm calling two phones.
Right, answer okay? me when I'm talking to you.
Thank you. So finally, when they get home, Marlissa's grandmother goes in and she's calling Marlissa like, Marlissa, Marlissa, you know, where are you? And she gets no response, nothing, dead silent, all right? She goes upstairs. Marlissa's not in her room. Everything's intact, dead, nothing. It's almost like Marlissa just like left the house.
Where the fuck is Marlissa?
Or whatever, right? Then she goes downstairs.
Damn.
To the basement.
Damn.
And that's when she sees a very disturbing scene.
She found Marlissa, huh?
She found Marlissa. And I don't mean in a good way.
Dead.
There's blood all over the walls. And actually, this blood, actually, so you know, anybody who has a basement, you know, typically you have a door, you open it up, there's like a rail there, like a stair, like rail or whatever.
Banister,
yes. It starts from the top of the time the you blood? Open up your door. The blood is right there. So grandma like, oh my God, Marlissa, she like calling downstairs like, Marlissa, everything okay? What's going on, baby? What's going on? No answer. But when she walks down there, she sees Marlissa laid out in the bathroom on the floor with like blood all over the toilet, all over the floor.
Damn.
And all around Melissa's head while Melissa laid out on the bathroom floor in the basement.
Wow. Something tell me Melissa whooped his ass.
And so it's crazy.
She fought for her life.
Right. And the crazy thing about this, and this is just the initial scene, you guys. The most interesting thing about this whole thing is that Melissa also, this is really weird, DJ. She had a fork.
You damn right.
In her back. Bent. As if someone intentionally put it there, like put a fork in her, she's done.
Yeah.
That's sick. So, and
possibly. I thought you were going to say that she got one lost.
No, and it was there. And it literally like a steak knife just boom, stuck it in her back, bent the fork and walked away like it was nothing, like she's done.
Or maybe that's how they got it started.
Or that's maybe how they got it started. Right. I mean.
Who knows?
Wow. Okay. So by this time, the grandfather, Mr. Wells, has entered the home and he immediately hears his wife downstairs yelling and crying like, oh my God, oh my God. So he runs down and also witnesses this horrific scene with his granddaughter. Okay. He immediately calls 911. The police arrive on the scene, and even though they are even in disbelief, and it takes a lot, okay, for the police. I mean, they have to be accustomed to deaths and he's shot and.
Well, damn, what did the scene look
like? Oh my God. Because it was just blood
and guts
everywhere. One of the police officers described they had been in law enforcement for something like 12 years or something, and they had never seen that much blood. It was like walking into a pool of blood, and that could be sick for anybody. Even a hardened criminal, I don't think, could even tolerate that.
What did he use? A gun? A knife?
I don't
know. What, he killed him with a fork?
Wow, that is quite an accomplishment.
I mean, what did he
I'll fork you to death.
How did all that blood get there? You feel me?
Fuck with me. I'll fork you to death. I use anything as a weapon. Okay? So the police arrive on the scene, and even they're in disbelief at the magnitude of this gruesome crime. They immediately think that whoever killed this beautiful young lady, that they had extreme hatred for her. For this type of magnitude. And they just couldn't figure it out, okay? So let's talk about Marlissa and who she was. She was born in 1991 to her mother, Erica Wells, who describes her as a wonderful child, just a beautiful child growing up. She really enjoys school. In fact, she got all A's and B's in her classes, and that's what we just talked about, right, DJ? And she played the violin and participated in multiple school events. However, unfortunately, Marlissa did not grow up with her biological father in the home. He left when she was about 7 years old. And from then, it was just her, her brother, and her mother until about 7 years later when her mother met her stepfather and got engaged. Now, all your life, dad's not here, gone, mom
not
and dad divorced.
Just for 7 years.
Or for the other half of your life, which for her probably felt like all my life, right? It's just being you and your mother and your brother. Now here comes this buckethead.
Yeah, really dumb.
To kind of hurt him, tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And my mom got the nerve to tell me that she gonna marry this nigga. Like, I ain't with that shit.
Are you saying something, Lady A? Did the stepdad do it? Was that his fort?
Oh my
God. Whose fingerprint was on the fort?
We got to find that out.
Shit.
Okay? We got to find that out.
Fuck this.
That's crazy, ain't it?
So what's
so we know
background?
She didn't
so
get around.
This?
We don't know who he is, but we know Marlissa didn't like him. Okay? So
did
for
it
whatever
say that,
it did say for whatever okay. reason, Marlissa was very resentful of the fact that her mother was getting married to this man. And she asked her mother if she could move in with her grandparents in Austell, Georgia, which, of course, her mother allowed it and said, that's fine. Yes, you can go there. Okay. And I think that may have been the better situation for everybody involved. Maybe. I have to question that as we continue through this story. But that's where she went. So Marlissa's grandparents were just all too happy to have her live with them. They absolutely adored Marlissa. And we know that the grandparents and the grandmother relationship is just as valuable as the parent-child relationship. So that would not be that far-fetched. We know that historically, a lot of children, especially in the 90s, were often raised by their grandparents and not their biological parents. So that would not be something that would be uncommon. I mean, we know that her grandparents were great ones, and why not if it's going to just bring the peace in the family, right? So, and again, that was what Marlissa's mother knew, that she'd be safe, she'd be well taken care of, and everything was going to be good.
Marlissa's mother wanted to get rid of the kid.
No,
she got remarried, she wanted to get rid of the troublemaking ass kid, and it was over. Go stay
Marlissa's
with your grandmother.
Marlissa's mother, just for the record, you guys, did not want that, but she did allow Marlissa, and because of the close relationship with her grandparents, that, you know, it was okay to go ahead and do that. Or whatever. If you're not getting along with your stepfather or your stepmother and you have a safe haven, it's better for you to do that than to, you know, lash out or run away or, you know, all the weird shit people do, right?
Yeah, we gonna see.
So now, even though Marlissa's grandparents doted on her, they were devout Christians and they raised Marlissa to be the same way. She went to church multiple times out the week, which we talked about, DJ. She sang in the choir. And they made sure that she always kept God first in her life. Okay? So those were the standards. That is how Marlissa was raised. You know, and that's what we know.
So she was raised in a church, huh?
Raised in the church. And she was raised to love God and to always keep him first in her life. And I think that's huge because maybe some children nowadays.
But hey, that ain't got nothing to do with her murder. Who killed her and why? I want to
well,
get to the
gotta
shit.
Well, we got to get... Wait a minute. We got... Slow down, DJ. We got to back it up. Okay.
Damn
we got
it.
To get that whole background. We got to let the people
ready
know.
Ready to throw somebody in jail.
So in 2006, Marlissa's grandparents enrolled her in private Christian school, where she eventually meets and falls in love with Matthew Wilkins. Okay? Now the plot starts to thicken, DJ. We got to get a background, okay?
Okay.
Now, Matthew Wilkins, let's talk about Matthew Wilkins, okay? He was a senior in high school at the time that he actually met Marlissa.
And Marlissa
was a freshman. So
he was a senior, he's a freshman.
Yes.
Yeah, he's fucked up already.
Yeah.
He's less than.
We already starting off with a bad rap.
He's less than. No, you can't tell me that.
Oh yeah, and it's the truth. So he and he also came from a family that was pretty well off. Like I said, both of his parents were ministers. Even though Matthew
family well off. Not him. He had
not you.
Yeah. Family well off. And obviously he had the brains that God gave you.
Not true, too.
Damn, you feel me? God.
So, you know, and that may have played we'll talk about that because that may have played a major role in what happened here. So, even though Matthew was 3 years older, and keep in mind, I told you he's a senior, so was that junior, sophomore, freshman?
About 4 years. My thing is, I'm thinking 18 and I'm thinking 13. 18,
yeah, he
14,
was about 17
like
and she was about 15 at the time that they met.
Nah, don't do that. 17
and I think he turned 18.
Either 17 or 13, or it's 14 and 18.
Right. So either way, it's not appropriate. Because I don't care if you're a minor or not. If two people are minors, but you're 17 and they're 14, that's still too damn young.
Yeah, he got a depraved mind at the end of the day, man. He's supposed to be with the
graduating singers.
He's going to be looking at going to college.
Captain of the basketball team. You ain't dang one of the cheerleaders or something? What's up with this?
Yep, let's go ahead. Yep, so what happened?
Okay, so even though Matthew was 3 years older than Marlissa, they felt they had a lot in common. Mostly through their Christian faith, because with Matthew's mother and father both being ministers, He also spent quite a bit of time of his week when he wasn't playing basketball attending church. Okay? So that's really kind of how they...
So he got a lot in common with a ninth grader. He and senior dealing with freshmen. Thank
you. So Melissa's new to this school. Matthew's already been, he's already attended this school and he's on his way out the door. Melissa's new. He meets her as she's the new girl coming in.
So he prayed on her. He prayed on
basically,
the youngin.
Basically, there you go.
Prayed on the youngin.
Exactly. And with Melissa, I would have to imagine she had a bit of naive in her.
A bit. She was in eighth grade last year. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Okay, moving on, people. But all this time spent together, and let me tell you, they spend a lot of time together, okay? Talking, having conversations. He practicing at basketball. She's there. You know the whole song, Pony and Dance, DJ. They eventually fell for one another and began seeing each other on a regular basis. Now, keep in mind, though, that Melissa, at this point, when they agreed to start seeing each other, she's 16 now. Okay, so when she let her grandparents know that she met this really nice boy at school, they made it very clear to her that they did not want her dating. She was too young. She did not need to be in a relationship. She did not need to be committed to anybody. And she just was not prepared for that. And so they forbade it from happening. You will date when you're 18. That's what her grandparents told her. You will graduate. You will be 18. You'll be a legal adult. And then you will be, we feel, halfway mentally prepared to handle a relationship. Okay? So they immediately put a stop to this. Nope. You guys will be nothing more than friends. And I probably wouldn't have told her that. You know what I'm saying? But yet, you know, that's what happened. But by this time, Melissa thought that she was in love. Oh, my God. Matthew is just the greatest thing that ever happened since they started slicing bread, okay? And oftentimes, we know young girls with older boys or men, they get caught up in this. And that's the cautionary tale. Because you don't really know what your child is doing when they're not in your presence all the time. And that's just true. And so what's the case?
Well, shit, I hope they ain't doing nothing like that.
Yeah, and
shit.
And we just have to hope,
at
right?
The end of the day, and his pervert ass.
Thank you, not to mention him.
He really think he, with a straight face, he think he doing something. Everybody else dating people their own age, he with a 15-year-old. Everybody else dating college people, he with a 15-year-old.
Thank you.
Thinking everything.
You can't just advance yourself and go on and start hitting the college campus and start dating girls there.
Like,
why? Were they going to identify the immaturity in you?
Yeah, you're less than.
And say, thank you. You're less than.
You lack.
You got another year or two. Call me up when your ass get mature.
Hold on, ninth? Yeah, about three, yeah.
Senior, call me when you're about 21. Yeah, your level of maturity is halfway if you're lucky. Right? I mean, let's just be honest here. So, again, Melissa, by this time, by the time she tells her grandparents, she's already in love. And so she makes a decision to keep her relationship with Matthew a secret from her grandparents and only tell her best friend, Sarai Beek. And in fact, Melissa was so secretive, okay? She only had Matthew come over when her grandparents went to church, or she would talk to him using other people's cell phones. She was just, like her mother even described this, as she was just head over heels. And her whole world is just Matthew. Can't go there because Matthew does. You know, oh no, Matthew. And she's in ninth grade though, DJ.
That's what I was going to say.
How do you feel about that? I mean, that's crazy.
As a man, he's wrong.
Yeah.
She should be head over heels. He about to graduate. Is in the third. Lying to this girl.
And she done took a liking to him. Not just a liking.
Not just a liking, a loving.
A loving. A strong loving. Okay? It happens so often that it's almost scary. I mean, in all joking aside, it really is a very... It doesn't take much for a young girl to be sucked in to something like that with no experience, Christian, smart, intelligent, beautiful young lady, raised right or being raised right or whatever, experiencing something different, and you, boom, then you sucked in like a vacuum cleaner.
Money, romance, and greed point. Yep. Watch your kids. Make sure you know who your kids are associating with.
Thank you. Make
sure you know who they're talking to.
Yep.
Talk to their teachers. Talk to their closest friends, their associates, their loved ones.
Check their social media accounts. Don't think that just because your teenager is 16, 17 years old, that they have a sense of privacy. What the hell does that even mean? I don't even know what privacy even means.
Privacy don't mean shit when you living in my house. No, that.
Thank you. Stop. I'm going to check your phone. I'm paying a goddamn bill. And even if I wasn't paying a goddamn bill, you living in my house, you're my child, it is my responsibility to make sure that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing.
That's the problem with parents now.
Yeah.
Is they're scared to take the phone. Take the goddamn phone and dare them to say something. And tell them you're not their teeth in the back of their throat.
That's the problem right there.
That's it.
We don't want to tell that. We don't want to tell our kids nowadays that we'll lay them on their ass and put them back in their place.
That's it.
You know, we let them cuss us out and talk to us in any kind of way. And some of these kids, let me tell you, DJ, I've been in some of these stores where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that y'all talk that way. But it happens.
It happens.
Moving on, okay? Side note from MRG, listen to DJ. It's the truth.
Yeah, but we love the kids and everything. We're talking
about
grown kids.
We love our kids.
We're talking about kids about 16, 17, 18.
That think they grown.
They doing. They done smelt their piss. Remember your grandmother used to tell you, oh, you smelled your piss,
Thank
huh?
you. Yep. And you ain't even got the milk off your titty yet.
Yeah, you already know. And at the end of the day, you know, you remember that first time.
Yeah.
You said what?
We've all done it.
Close the door, lock the door. Okay. What'd you just say?
Yep.
That's what we talking about.
We gonna see how bad
you
really
are. We love the babies and the kids and all that. But
we love them.
Yeah.
And a part of that whole spitefulness and that whole crackdown is because you love them. And you don't want to see them get out into the real world thinking that they can pull the shit at home out in the real world.
And that's all it is. Us trying to goddamn teach our own kids and raise our own kids before the white man get involved.
Thank you. Preach. Moving on. All right, so, you know, again, Marlissa's defying her friends and family and her mother and everybody else. And
the defiant ones, huh?
And it was really weird because even her brother, who was pretty close to Marlissa, said that that was just not in her DNA. She got with Matthew and became a different person. And I hear that quite a bit, though, DJ, that these young girls and young men, because it's not, you know, some of these young men get caught up with these young girls and they think they're in love, and these young girls get caught up with these older men and they think they're in love,
right,
and they're just not the same person. You start to see things that you wouldn't normally see in them, and it's like, what? That's not you. That, you know, good now, what ain't you? Stop. But that is them now because they're listening to someone else. It's really weird. So moving on. This hot relationship between Marlissa and Matthew continued until the summer of 2007 when Matthew graduates high school and leaves for college, okay? And at this point, Marlissa is just extremely fearful of the distance and that him going to college was going to interfere with the relationship. But apparently, it didn't. So, Matthew leaves and he goes to college, and his college is about 2 hours away. He goes to some type of agricultural college where he's on a basketball scholarship. So he gets his basketball scholarship. He's about 2 hours away or whatever, and they leave. Now, keep in mind, Marlissa, by this time, is only going into her sophomore year, okay? And she's just like, oh my God, I gotta hang on to him where he's going to college. This is gonna change him.
Stupid.
And all of this. But they're saying apparently it didn't. So she continued to talk to Matthew on the phone and sneak off to be with him when he would come home on the weekends. And while this is going on, Marlissa gets deeper and deeper in love with Matthew and begins counting down the days to her own graduation, and keep in mind, it's about 3 years away.
Right. Yeah, I bet.
Where she can legally date and be with Matthew openly. And remember, it's because I told you that her grandparents were very clear. You will not date until you're 18. You are not prepared for that. You need to focus on your education. You need to focus on who you are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Apparently, though, this happily ever after for Marissa and Matthew would never take place. Why? Because on January 19, 2008, when her grandparents came home to find her dead on the bathroom floor in the basement. In fact, Marissa's body was so badly damaged, the police would not even allow her own mother to see her. They kept her out of the home because they said that they did not want her mother to see Marissa in that state. They wanted her to just remember her in the last time that she had saw her. And that's pretty damn bad.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So, I'm not even going there on that one. So when the police get to work and begin looking at her body, they find more than 60 stab wounds.
Oh, that's a crime of passion.
Yep.
God damn it. You're going to die.
To her head and neck, DJ. Wow. I ain't talking about the thigh. I ain't talking about the stomach. I ain't talking about the back. I'm talking about right here. And you get your neck jerked and your head. Like, come on, man. Really? But that wasn't enough for the killer. He had bashed her head beside the toilet to the point where the porcelain top on the back of the toilet was broke.
Bashed her head
into
the toilet.
That's pretty damn. That level of anger, can we say 100,000?
It was a fight. They was fighting. They was going at it.
That's crazy.
It was a life or death type fight type shit. You know how
it really was. She was literally fighting for her life at that point. That is absolutely crazy. So police believe that the attack started upstairs, somewhere in the kitchen, where the knives and forks was accessible. And then Marissa ran downstairs in an attempt to protect her, but her killer was just like quicker than her and got to her before she could lock the door in the bathroom. So she's trying to get an escape plan, and I have to imagine that this is like, oh my God.
Don't run to the bathroom, run to an exit.
Thank you. But what if the doors are locked? Then I have to unlock the door.
Where's your phone? Call 911.
But I have to press the buttons.
Yes, it don't matter. No. You can just hit emergency. You know
oh,
emergency.
Yeah, you can. Wait, this is 2007. Did they have smartphones then? So that means you have to actually download
don't
one.
Run to a bathroom where you locked in. Don't run
to
the basement unless it's an exit in the basement.
Run upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Hit the wind in your bedroom. But you know, I get the feeling that maybe this was an impulse and it's like, where's my nearest escape plan? Oh, the basement's right here. Let me just open the door, take off running down there, and hopefully I can get there. You know, it's
and
like
the
that.
Next thing you know, boom, I'm kicking
yeah,
in the door.
Yeah, that's
right
freaking crazy, dude. Like, seriously.
Just the same thing. You run to the bathroom. Boom, oh. Kicking the door. I ain't nowhere for you to go.
Oh, man. If she had maybe been able to lock the door. No?
No.
Damn. Okay. Moving on, people. This is just really terrible, okay? No escape plan here. So police believe that the attack started upstairs, like I said, and somewhere in the kitchen where the knives and forks were accessible. And then Marissa ran downstairs and attempted to protect herself, but the killer was like right there. And he was just clearly faster than her and got to her before she could even lock the door. The police actually find the knife handles and blades in the bathroom trash can where Marissa's body was found.
What now?
They actually, they didn't even try to take the window. Okay? The knife I stabbed you 60 times with to the point where I broke the blade from the handle. Yeah, I just put that in the in the trash can right
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, just leave it.
I might as well just leave it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like whatever. So, as you can see, this person pretty much is a lunatic. I mean, really. I mean, I don't even think even Marilyn Manson. I keep saying Marilyn.
Either that or
Charles Manson.
Nigga crazy in love.
Yeah. So, this is why it was those circumstances is why, you know, the police immediately kind of zoomed in and said, this is a crime of passion, like you said, DJ. And that somebody came to this house with the absolute intent to murder this girl. Like, they came there already knowing this bitch gonna be dead when I leave
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I get the feeling she disrespected. Yeah, roll up. No, you ain't gonna disrespect me. That's your ass. I feel like she disrespected somebody.
Or she pissed somebody off.
Disrespect, pissed off, same thing.
Same thing. You're right. That is the same thing. Damn it. Okay.
But I don't, like, I just can't call it right now.
But see, shit. Here's the thing. You can piss somebody off and then they don't kill you.
It depends who you pissed off. Know who you pissing off.
You gotta know that. Now, you're pissing off Charles Manson. It's probably a 90 to 10 that you're gonna die.
And not only that, Cold Game is, there's a million Charles Mansons walking around now that you wouldn't even know until you piss them off.
Ain't that scary?
That's the crazy
part.
Oh,
my God.
Why you think motherfuckers getting murked left and right every day?
Oh, that's so freaking true. Okay. Moving on, people. So once the police are able to gather this, okay, because that's scary. All right? DJ just scared the shit out of everybody. There's a whole bunch of Charles Mansons running around here until you piss them off.
No. It ain't no secret. You might go outside and die at any time. Wow. Life is short.
Very short. Especially ball till you fall. To a Charles Manson.
Party like a rock star.
By the way.
It'd be a shame if you go outside and get hit by a car.
Damn. I'd rather be hit by a car than stabbed 60 times in my neck and head.
And don't be in Chicago. You done walked outside and just got shot. Damn.
And not just you. Okay. Your murder is so least to their expectations. They're like, this weekend in Chicago, 60 people have been killed.
And the thing about... Don't tell you. Oh, yeah, that's not high on priority list. What?
No, we don't know who it is. But let a famous person come up in there and all of a sudden they done solved the crime, got all the video. Okay, DJ, we are not going there because that is an episode in itself.
And don't you know they opened the case about Jesse back up?
Oh, Lord.
They just opened it back up. But okay. Anyway, I digress.
We on my list tonight, y'all. Okay. Damn. Anywho. All right. So once the police are able to gather this, they go back to the family and they ask them if they know any idea. I mean, just throw me a stone here. Who the hell would want to kill this beautiful young lady, Marlissa?
Maybe it's her boyfriend that's 4 years older.
Oh, that's so interesting that you said that, DJ.
Same thing the cops said.
Police said, did she have a... boyfriend?
Oh, yeah, you know that.
Or an ex-boyfriend. And her family immediately says she was only interested in one boy. And see, that's the caveat. That's what the killers aren't anticipating, for lack of a better word. No, she was only interested in one. Now, we told her she couldn't date that boy, but we were all very clear that that was the boy that she was in love with, okay? Matthew Wilkins.
Yeah.
Say his name again. Matthew Wilkins.
And you're right, Lady A. It does happen like that sometimes. But yeah. Fellas, don't think it happens like that all the time.
No. Nope.
Because you think you was a friend. No, she was dealing with the other boy.
This particular situation and in this particular case, she was not dealing with other boys. She was dealing with Matthew Wilkins.
All right, Wilkins. Okay. That's your ass.
So the grandparents and even the grandparents knew this. They tell police that she was not allowed to date him because she was too young. And, you know, they knew that they were seeing each other as friends, but they had made it very clear to Marlissa they were not allowed to officially date and be quote unquote boyfriend, girlfriend.
Hey, where's Wilkins?
And interesting you said that. Because initially, Matthew does not look like a suspect because he was 2 hours away at college. But the interesting thing about this, DJ, oh my God. The interesting thing about this is that when the police go to his home to talk to his parents, they think they're going to go talk to his parents. This nigga Matthew opens up the door. Like, how y'all doing, officers?
I'm going to need to turn around right now because we got him. Yeah, we got Matt. Yep. Warning.
He opens up the door and he says that he was at home visiting his family because that weekend that Marlissa was murdered was Martin Luther King weekend. So
shout out MLK.
Shout out MLK. We love Martin Luther King. All right. But that was his holiday, and so school would have been out, so he had drove back that weekend or whatever, and he was staying at home.
Karma is real.
Yes. It absolutely is. So that's shocked enough for the police. Like, oh, damn, nigga, I thought you was in school. No, I'm right here in my house.
Talk about hitting the jackpot.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm going to need you. Cash money. Matter of fact,
anybody, I'm going to need you. Let go.
Thank you. So when he found, when he finds out, because at this point, Matthew does not know that Melissa is dead, he is clearly in shock. Matthew says that, yes, we were in a relationship. He does not deny this. Okay. He's very clear about that. That he was in a relationship with Marlissa and then had to be kept secret from her family. He's like, he says to the police, well, her grandparents didn't want me dating her, so we kept our relationship a secret. He says that he did not see Marlissa, though, that weekend because it was so hard to see her since she was around her family for MLK that he hadn't seen her all weekend, even though they did have a conversation or several on the phone. So for the most part, he really just spent his time, for lack of a better word, with his mother and father.
Oh, that's typical. That's a bullshit.
Never seen her. Home all weekend. Didn't even one
that's
time.
Some bullshit.
We didn't even meet at a McDonald's.
Okay.
I didn't even buy a Big Mac. Okay? Nothing.
Smack his ass and get the real story out of it.
Thank you.
Bottom line.
So police are skeptical and they immediately run a background check on Matthew. And of course, he's clean. And they didn't have any reason to believe that he would want his admitted girlfriend dead. So police scratch him off the suspect.
Just because you clean don't mean you're innocent.
Right. Thank you. And so now the police is back at square one. It is at this point they turn to the community to see what they may know about this case.
Ain't nobody talking.
No, but people are talking. And that's the thing, DJ. And no, that's the interesting thing about this. Police do believe, and they made this very clear to the community, they do believe that Marlissa was, that this crime against her was targeted.
What did the streets say?
And so they start canvassing the neighborhood, and one teenage girl who doesn't live that far from Marlissa and her grandparents report to her mother that she saw two boys named John Gomez and Mike Jenkins enter Marlissa's grandparents' home. So, of course, they immediately, can you imagine your kid's name being brought up in this vicious murder?
No.
Well, you know. Well, you know. I saw John and Mike come through front door on the same day.
That's the only thing you're going to hear is, I'm whooping his ass.
Oh, man. Okay? And what happens? You know the people. You know the people got to see about you. You know they got to see about you. It has to be done.
I got to see about you because you don't have to steal. Real shit.
And you don't have to lie. Stealing and lying go hand in hand. You ain't got to do neither one.
And I hate a liar and a thief. So.
Thank you. Because if you lie, you'll steal.
Bottom line.
She's cool.
Steal.
Good.
You'll kill.
Church woman. But she'll steal.
Mm-hmm. Real shit.
So, police make no hesitation. And they immediately go and see John Gomez and Mike Jenkins. Now, these two boys... because, you know, this is, again, what were we talking about, DJ? Oh, was she seeing somebody else? Well, maybe Matthew went away and she was just heartbroken, devastated.
No.
Well, no, 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 and no.
Oh, you sure?
Okay, it's no. So they do interview John.
See, back then, wasn't no cell phones and
no,
shit.
No, it wasn't cell phones and anything like that.
Somebody smooth that way with something. We got to work with a fast one.
Right, but they do go and interview these boys. And they adamantly deny that they've ever been in her grandparents' home. And even they know that Marlissa's grandparents don't play that.
Hey, I they know,
no. Marlissa's grandparents do not play that nonsense. We have never even been in her home. We don't even know what the inside of her home even look like.
Yeah,
they
I know.
Also check.
Now that they done found a dead body in the basement.
Yeah, and everybody denied.
Right.
But they did check the boys' alibis. Because, of course, your word ain't going to mean a damn thing.
Nothing.
When there's a 16-year-old girl dead.
Right.
And we got to figure this whole thing out.
That's my thing. Let's get the real.
Thank you.
Lady.
So that is the first clue. Okay, no. We checked their alibis. They're good. They're solid. They had nothing to do with this.
Did the alibi? They didn't check the alibis.
The alibi checked out. They were good. And so now police is back at square one, but all of Marlissa's friends, this is the thing about it. Even Marlissa's friends are all very clear That statement that that girl said down the street is not true, because the only person that Marlissa would ever let into her grandparents' home is Matthew Wilkins.
That's it.
That's it. She didn't care about nobody else. Her heart is with this man right here. And this is coming from her best friend. This is coming from kids at school. I mean, through the grapevine, Marvin Gaye, whatever you want to call it. Everybody knows that Matthew is the love of her life. She would never let anybody else in.
So now it's time to hang his punk ass.
Thank you. And in addition, her friends say that Marlissa was so deep in love with Matthew, but he wasn't in love with her.
Of course not.
Ah, what's that about? In fact, after he went to college, he started acting funny towards Marlissa, not really wanting to return calls, and being really mean and rude to her. Marlissa was afraid that college life was actually pushing Matthew away from her.
She was 15.
Thank you. That would explain why she's like, oh my God, I can't wait till I turn 18 so me and Matthew can be together.
It's over. You got play. You played yourself.
Oh, but she's 15, so we can't say she played herself, because she is 15.
He's a pedophile.
Or 16 at this time. At 16. He may have told her, oh, it doesn't matter. College doesn't mean anything. Nah. Who knows what this fool done told this girl?
Both of them wrong. Somebody.
And Matthew's even more wrong, because he's the older one in this situation.
Yes, but at the end of the day, he's goofy, obviously.
Real goofy. So it turns out that the truth was is that Matthew actually met and started dating another girl in college named Kara Chambers. And this was a public relationship, meaning that nobody in his family knew about Marlissa, but everybody in his family knew about Kara. She coming for the picnics. She coming for the dinners. She coming home for the weekend. She's staying at the house. That's Matthew's girlfriend. That's Matthew's people. That's who we fucking with. That's Matthew. But nobody knows who Marlissa is, right?
Man, fuck Matthew.
And so that is really, really the crazy thing about this, which meant that, again, you know, Marlissa was just something to do when Matthew came home and Karen wasn't there or whatever. So police are now absolutely suspicious. They bring in Kara for questioning, which they would, right? So when they do finally meet Kara, she is not the girl that they are expecting her to be. She's just like this, you know, ROTC girl. She's studying to be like some freaking nurse or something big in life. And even more to that, she's not even in a relationship with Matthew anymore. Okay? So she does admit to police that she did have a relationship with Matthew for a short period of time, but it didn't work out. They tried back and forth, and so she just kind of decided to move on or whatever, because he was seeing other girls and all this old rigmarole. She did, when police asked her if she knew anything about Marlissa, she says yes. And she says that all I know, I don't know her personally, but one thing that I do know is that it was her understanding that Marlissa was pregnant with Matthew's baby. All right? So now we get over into this whole big thing about, you know, I mean, that's an, I mean, wow, that's an absolute shocker. We never even talked about a baby up to this point, okay? So the police is absolutely shocked because they didn't really see this piece of the puzzle coming. And it also puts Matthew right into the crosshairs of the suspect radar.
She was baby? Pregnant?
Baby? How your girlfriend knows that your other girlfriend is pregnant with your baby?
That explains everything.
That it does. It explains everything. A lot.
And that's why she came up dead.
So apparently, Marlissa told her best friend that she was about 3 months behind on her menstrual. And she was nauseated and tired. And she thought that she might be pregnant.
Yeah, she's with a child.
Right. And so at this point, she had not told Matthew, but she was planning on telling him, you know, the next time that she saw him. Well, when she did finally tell Matthew, he was not too pleased, okay? He kept pushing Marlissa and pushing Marlissa and pushing Marlissa to get an abortion. I am on a basketball scholarship. I have a future. I have a career. I have these things I want to do. And this baby and you is just not a part of this whole little hoopla of a family that you think we gonna be. Okay, not gonna happen. So, you know, basically, in all in a nutshell, he don't want to be tied down, right? Ain't gonna happen. But the more that Marlissa thought about it, because initially Marlissa was like, well, if Matthew wants me to get an abortion, then that's what I'm gonna do.
She probably should have, goddammit. Her ass would still be here to talk about it.
That's crazy.
Unfortunately. That's crazy. I often think about that quite a bit. His ass coming. He should have thought about that before he deal with the little young girl. What do you think the little young girl going to do?
And if you're having sex with a person without protection, what the hell you think going to happen? You out here being irresponsible and then got the nerve and audacity to talk about how you want a future. Come on, Matthew. Come on. Stall me out. You come from two pairs of men that are ministers. I'm sure they taught you better than that. Moving on.
He was probably socially, a miscreant. Unfortunately. He had to be. You know, you a senior fucking with a freshman. Thank you. Damn.
So the more and more that Melissa thought about it and the more that she, prayed about it and put God first, she was really against having an abortion. And really, it is believed that because she was so in love with Matthew, and this is coming from her mother, that she wanted something that would forever connect the two of them for life, whether he was involved in the child's life or not. So now, you know, they are absolutely, and this is the police, looking at Matthew as a suspect because now he has a motive as to why he would want her dead. And it's really weird. To all fuel, Marlissa's younger brother tells police that one night Marlissa had Matthew on speakerphone and he was just yelling and screaming at her, telling her to get an abortion, and he made threats to her on the phone. And another time he actually threatened her over MySpace. So clearly Matthew was not for this whole situation. So on the day of Marlissa's death, Sarai, which is her best friend, told police that Marlissa let her know that Matthew was coming over so they could talk about the baby. That was all they needed. And this is the police. This is all they needed to place Matthew at the scene. So police secured a warrant for Marlissa and Matthew's cell phones and saw that there was 18 phone calls placed between the two leading up to her death. In fact, the last call was placed on the day of her murder at 10:46 a.m. just before her grandparents left the house. Coincidence? Think not. So police immediately go back to the Wilkins home and talk to Matthew before he goes back to school. Wow, lucky them, because he was going to go back that same day. Matthew is present and continues to deny that he had anything to do with Marlissa's death. Now, at this point, his parents are starting to get suspicious. Like, why you keep coming up over here talking to my son about this girl? Why don't even know this girl? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Or whatever. So then police keep it real with him. Well, I'm going to keep it real with you. Your son was in a relationship with this girl, and he was sleeping with this girl, and now this girl's dead, and we know he was the last person to talk to this girl. You want to talk about a bomb being thrown? Parents immediately go on third degree and was like, oh, hell nah. Matthew, you ain't talking to these motherfuckers at all until you get a lawyer. Nothing. You don't say nothing until you get a lawyer. But what the police did was say, okay, you don't want to talk to us? That's fine. We'll go back and secure a warrant for your house. So they go back and they secure this warrant to search the home. Everything going good? Well, bad for the police because they don't find anything. Like, damn, man, we searching this house up and down, up and down, up and down. We don't find nothing, 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 nothing. Boom. Just when the police was about to leave, they see, oh, shit, there's a attic and there's like a little drop down thing right here that leads to, like, you know, DJ, like the little drop down stairs or whatever. So they pull it down and lo and behold, when they go up there, they find a bloody hoodie. And bloody jogging pants and bloody sneakers. They immediately take it from the home and they immediately arrest Matthew Wilkins for suspicion of murder.
Okay? Got his ass.
Yep.
You know that.
So police do submit these clothes for DNA testing, and weeks later they received the confirmation they needed that the blood was Marlissa's. On April 3rd, 2008, police officially charged Matthew with the first-degree murder of Marlisha Wells. Everyone, including Marlisha's family and Matthew's friends and families, were shocked because they're like, he's not that kind of guy. Are you sure that it was him? And they're like, yeah.
Absolutely.
It was him.
How long did they give him? How long did they give him?
Well, we got to go through the trial. March 3rd, 2010, Matthew, his trial begins in Cobb County, okay, Superior Court. And the prosecutors argued that on January 2008, Marlisha and Matthew made plans to see one another after her grandparents left the home. This would not be unusual. So at 10:46 a.m., Matthew called one last time and Marlisha told him that it was cool for him to come over. When he gets there, the two immediately have sex. Okay? And that was confirmed through the autopsy. Afterwards, Marlisha and Matthew talk about the pregnancy and the possibility of an abortion. Matthew is very clear that he does not want her to have a baby, and we go round and round and round about this. I'm having a baby situation. And once Marlisha was just became dead gun ho set on having this baby, that's when prosecutors say that Matthew snapped. He grabbed a knife from the kitchen and stabbed her once. Marlisha then takes off running, where eventually she ends up downstairs trapped in the bathroom, where Matthew catches her and goes like stupid, dumb, crazy, just stabbing her repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly. Police believe he took her head and actually struck it on the toilet immediately, which would explain the broke porcelain or whatever, and that would have incapacitated her. I mean, anybody getting their head hit on a toilet porcelain will absolutely cause somebody to be incapacitated. And that's when he pretty much, you know, did these 60 stab wounds on her. Now, Matthew's defense argued that Melissa's DNA is so minuscule, because there were just kind of some blood spots on there or whatever, that it would not have been enough for the massive murder that the prosecution is saying happened. And then here's the kicker, DJ. In a last-ditch effort, the defense biggest witness was Matthew's mother. And keep in mind, when I asked you that question in the beginning, how far are you willing to go for your child? She is a minister who took the stand to say that Matthew was with her during the time of Marlisha's murder. She said, I swear to God, I put that on my Most High Bible. Matthew was with me during the time of this murder. She said that God was her witness. And so the prosecution was able to show cell phone records that showed her, that showed his mother and him calling each other back and forth throughout the day. So if you can understand and say, God is my witness, I'm not lying, he was with me, then why the hell are y'all having conversations calling each other back and forth on the goddamn phone? That's just what I'm trying to figure out. DJ, yeah, lost for words, not sure, that's crazy. And that lie that his own mother told on the stand was really what pretty much confirmed everything else that was to fall in place, okay? They knew he did it. So on March 10th, 2010, Matthew was found guilty of felony murder, malice murder, aggravated battery, and aggravated assault. A life sentence was mandatory for the malice murder charge, which vacated the life sentence for felony murder charge and was merged with the aggravated assault sentence, which brought on an extra 20-year sentence. So at this point, Matthew is doing one life sentence plus 20 years. He will be eligible for parole in January of 2038, when he is 51 years old. But because of the additional 20 years for aggravated battery that the prosecution and the parole believes that the parole board will not allow Matthew to be granted parole, and he will pretty much spend the rest of his natural life in prison. And let's be clear here, when he was convicted of that, he was 21 years old at the time. So he has literally spent his whole life there. All right. But the one thing that is even really more sadder about this case is that the autopsy determined that Marlissa was not even pregnant. She was suffering from irregular periods and could have been controlled with just a simple visit to the doctor. What a waste. Let us know what you think about this story. Sad. Hit us up on mrg.podcast1@gmail.com. And that's it, everybody. Until next time. Peace. Hey, everyone. It's Lady A.
And DJ. Hey, listen. If you want more amazing episodes of Money, Romance, and Greed,
make sure you subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast fix. And we want to hear from you.
For inquiries, show ideas, or general comments, hit us up at mrg.podcast1@gmail.com. That's mrg.podcast1@gmail.com.